Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Ali Moreno and Stevie Nicol. Both Manchester United and Arsenal registering victories today in the Premier League. Arsenal 3-2 against Everton. What a game that was. Calvert-Lewin with an early goal in that one to give the visitors the lead. Arsenal equalising though. Nketiah with the goal to make it 1-1. And then a beautiful finish from Aubameyang. Nice ball through from David Luiz would give Arsenal the lead. Richarlison would score just before the break to make it 2-2. And then 25 seconds into the second half, Aubameyang gets his second to make it Arsenal 3, Everton 2. And that's how it finished at the Emirates. Meanwhile, at Old Trafford, a good day for Manchester United. Bruno Fernandes, excellent throughout. He would win and then convert a penalty to make it 1-0. And then a brilliant goal from Martial in the second half to make it 2. Manchester United in the end then winning by 3-0. So the significance of those results were Manchester United fifth in the table. They go above Spurs after their defeat against Chelsea yesterday. Meanwhile, Arsenal in ninth. They are only 4 points off fifth, which of course, as it stands at the moment, is a Champions League place. So let's start with Arsenal, shall we? Could you see today the Arteta effect?
I actually could today. You know, I've said all along that it's going to take more than a great coach to fix this team. It's definitely going to take a lot of personnel changes. But what I did see was an attitude from the first minute to the last. Yes, they lost a goal, but they didn't take 10 or 15 minutes to get back in the game. They got straight at it. And regardless of what happened in the game, they got after it. They went ahead. They lost a goal. But it didn't change anything they did whatsoever. So that tells me that there's a mentality about Arsenal. The only problem they have is they don't have the personnel that they can go and dominate teams and steamroll teams the way they probably should have.
There aren't many strikers as good as Aubameyang. One-on-one, you just knew he was going to score. This is a top goal scorer now in the Premier League. Obviously, this helps a lot.
Well, and before he gets into that position, I take you back to the run that he makes and the understanding of taking a couple of steps to the inside so that he gives enough time to David Luiz to see the pass and the passing lane. And once he understands the timing of the play, then he gets in behind and uses his speed to create separation. And at that point, as you just mentioned, opens up his body, finds that far post, and it is what you come to expect from Aubameyang. And that, to me, is the difference between Arsenal and some of these other teams that they're playing against, is that if they're able to show that attitude that you're talking about and fighting spirit and so on and so forth, and they show a little bit of quality through the midfield, once you get to the final third and the ball gets to Aubameyang, then that's a different type of player. That kind of player is world class. What they have leading up to that, not quite so. But he can make the difference for you because he is that good, and he will put the final touch on any builder that you're putting together.
4 points, as I mentioned. That's all it is to a Champions League spot. And it's not a bad run-in when you take a look at who they face between now and the end of the season. There aren't many ties that you look at and you think, you know what, I don't think they're going to take any points from this. Liverpool have won the title already. That's done. Leicester's obviously a big game. Away against Spurs, you would fancy them at the moment. Apart from that, it's a nice run, isn't it?
You know what, I think what's going to trip them up is that you can't 100% rely on them to win at home. I don't think so.
Right.
You know, they have been winning games, but they've been a struggle. And Everton, had they taken chances today, you know, wouldn't have lost this game. I think that's going to be the difference. You know, the likes of Man United, it seems to be at home, they don't look to be troubled, to be honest. I don't feel that way about Arsenal.
Right.
That April 13 match against Wolves at Wolves may be the one that either pushes them up or just kind of puts them in a position where they are right now. Now, when we discuss Arsenal, and as positive and optimistic as you may be following this match against Everton, Stevie just alluded to it, they are chances missed by Everton away from potentially either tying this game or losing this game. I can just tell you that I like the attitude. I like the positive mindset. I see that there is a trend going in the correct direction. But I also know that this is an inconsistent team. And there is a reason as to why they are where they are on the table. And so it is It is obvious to see the improvement, but it is also obvious to know that this is a team you can't really trust.
Meanwhile, for United, Bruno Fernandes, head and shoulders above everybody else on the pitch for the 90 minutes. He looked good. Solskjaer maybe got a little carried away.
Huh?
He's come in and given everyone a big boost, not just the team, but the supporters too. That's nice.
Yeah, that's fine.
But
stop right there.
Then he's like a mix of Scholes and Veron.
Oh, boy.
Come on, Ollie. I mean, this is the kind of experience that he doesn't have that we're talking about. You know, it's the last thing you do to anybody. I don't care whether it's an experienced player, a kid, whatever. Keep your mouth closed. Let Bruno Fernandes' performances speak for itself. You don't need to go throwing anything else at it other than, listen, this guy's himself. Just go and watch him play.
Away from the quote, he was good, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he is a player. And I think he is somebody that certainly is going to help Manchester United now and into the future. No doubt about that. What I would suggest is that from what we have seen from Manchester United this season, you roll out the quality of Bruno Fernandes out on the field, and he looks like Scholes and Veron put together. Because whatever else you have seen up until Bruno Fernandes being out on the field has been a very low standard. And so, therefore, when you see a guy that has the vision, the ability on the ball, the patience, the confidence, the willingness to put his foot on the ball and be able to distribute, joining in the attack, being dangerous out of the midfield, all those things that you haven't seen from any of the Manchester United midfielders, you're seeing it from him. And so then he looks like, hey, yes, we got somebody. Just got to be careful about not going crazy.
Meanwhile, what a goal from Martial. It looked like a training match, didn't it? 70,000 people watching, and he just looked like he had all the time in the world. And this is a player, obviously, we've discussed a lot on this show, Stevie. How frustrating is it as a coach to have a player like this where he shows you exactly what he can offer, but on other occasions just completely disappears?
I think I said it a few weeks ago. This is the kind of guy that gets you the sack, because he will do something like he did in this game. And by the way, what a goal.
Yeah.
You talk about awareness and being... I mean,
There's only so many people who can do that. Yeah.
Right. There are only so many people who have that ability, that are capable of doing it. But you know what? This guy, from doing that, will disappear and not do anything. And as a coach, you'll be sitting on the side of the field going, right, you know what? But I'm going to take this guy off. And then he'll do that.
Yeah.
Or you'll keep replaying them, and then you'll sit in the next game and go, I'm going to take him off, but you know what? I was going to do that last week, and he did that, so I won't do it, and then he won't do anything. You know, you're constantly, as a coach, thinking what you're going to get for this guy. That's not a good place to be. As talented as Martial is, that's not good for Solskjaer.
What you hope is that eventually he grows up. Eventually he matures. That's what you hope.
Yeah.
The problem is, as Stevie just talked about, you end up waiting for that to happen. And you think he's there because he gives you a couple of games in which, hey, we're seeing it. Here it is, the consistency. We're going to see it next week. And then that disappearance act happens. And that's the tough part. Because if you hadn't seen anything good from him, it's easy to say, nah, come on, get off the field. Come and sit next to me. But because there is potential for something magic to happen, then that's when you go chasing. And when you go chasing, and Manchester United are in a situation when they're chasing, that's when it's tough for the coach. And it's tough for the players as well around him, because they don't really know what to expect from him.
Mm. And it doesn't really help either when you really don't have a lot of options to change
Correct.
It. That makes it even harder. Listen, if you've got the squad that Fergie had years ago, then it's, you know what, you're off. Hit another one on and you've got the same thing. He doesn't have that option, Solskjaer, so it's a...
And you know who knows that?
A conundrum for him.
You know who knows that he doesn't have many options? Antoine Martial himself.
Yes.
Manchester United in a good position, though, to finish in a Champions League spot. Taking a look at their remaining fixtures. Tough three games coming up. You would suggest Everton and then City and then Spurs. The rest of the running pretty nice, though, for Solskjaer.
I'm going to go the absolute opposite of what I said about Arsenal. Away from home, you can't trust Manchester United. You just can't trust them. And regardless of whether it's teams in a relegation battle or fighting for Europe, whatever it may be, you do not know what you're getting away from home. That would be my worry.
That last game away against Leicester could be fun. Oof. Considering all the permutations, the chasing pack that obviously are all fighting for that fifth spot at the moment. But is it fair to say Manchester United look better suited than the others? Certainly better than Spurs, Wolves, Sheffield United.
Right. But that's...
I only lose in fifth.
That's also...
Yeah, but fifth is good enough.
Well, of course, I'm Manchester City.
There you go.
Yes. Do you know what? I'm sitting here and I'm going, what's he talking about?
Fair enough.
I'm glad we got there in the end.
Yeah, we did.
Look, I think Manchester United, they've given reasons to think, yes, maybe. But just like everybody else there, they're giving you reasons to say no. No. No, say Martial doesn't score any more goals and he's not the productive player that you think he's going to be, then where are the goals coming from? And you have that issue across the board. There are frailties and vulnerabilities with all these teams.
Monday night action, meanwhile, in the Premier League tomorrow, Liverpool taking on West Ham. It'll be no surprise to anyone to learn that Liverpool are just massive favourites. West Ham,
really?
16-1 to take the 3 points. What a game between Genoa and Lazio as we turn our attention to Italy today. The game was delayed slightly. I had to fix the net. There you are.
Old school, I see.
Indeed. 2 minutes in. Marusic will make it 1-0.
Well, you talk about using your power, and he does it. Goes through two defenders there. Just holds the two of them off. And then calmly slots it in the top corner.
Into the second half we go. Lazio will make it 2-0. Ciro Immobile, 6 minutes after the break.
Ball falls to him inside the 18-yard box. Bounces off the defender and Felipe Caicedo creates enough space at the near post. Good finish by Ciro Immobile.
But then what a goal this was from Francesco Cassata.
Mm. Oh. Beautiful. Sized it up, knew exactly what he wanted to do, had plenty of time as well. And then picks out pretty much the top corner.
However, Cataldi would restore that two-goal advantage in the 71st minute. What a free kick.
Oh. With a whole lot of pace up and over the wall. The goalkeeper doesn't even move. I'm not going to get there, so forget it. See you guys later.
Late drama, though. Genoa would be awarded a penalty in the 87th minute for a handball by Lazzari.
I think Lazzari's too close to be given. I mean, how is he supposed to get his hand out of the way? He's 12 inches away from his opponent.
Clisito,
foot.
Would score the penalty.
Of course, if you're closing the ball down, you get that close.
That's it, one, doesn't matter. 3-2, Ciro Immobile then, with 27 goals in 25 games. An extraordinary scoring rate for him this season. Juventus, Lazio and Inter. It is a three-horse race in the league. Just a reminder, Inter's game today was postponed. They have a game in hand. Lazio, 1 point still off. Juve, of course, earlier on in the weekend. Are you a believer in Lazio, Ali?
I'm a believer that this is a team that is going to go all the way to the end of the season. I'm not a believer that they're going to overtake Juventus. See, what they did last week in beating Inter, now they created enough separation between Juventus and Inter. And I think eventually it's going to come back around where Lazio drop points with some of the other teams that they're going to play against. I don't think that this is a team that is deep enough in order to make this run all the way to the end to overtake Juventus. They'll push, but it won't be enough.
I'm pretty much in agreement with everything Ali said. I don't see Lazio lasting the season the way they're playing, certainly right now. And I think Inter are going to drop more points, which means Juve's going to win it again.
A very good weekend if you're a Barcelona fan. Barca, of course, with that 5-0 win over Eibar, coupled with the fact that Real Madrid lost away against Levante, means that the first time this calendar year, Barca are top of the Spanish league, 2 points clear of Madrid. Barca now odds on to go on and defend their title. More bad news to Real Madrid. Meanwhile, today it's confirmed that Eden Hazard will definitely miss the match against Manchester City in the Champions League and then next weekend's Clásico at the Bernabéu. Al, is it fair to say that this maybe isn't the devastating news that you'd imagine it would be?
If you take the approach of many of Real Madrid fans who think, actually, you know what? We probably are better off right now with the way that Hazard is playing and just coming back from injury. We're better off with other options out on the field, guys that can give us full production, full productivity. Because right now, from what we have seen from Eden Hazard, is a guy that's still playing catch up.
Yeah.
Some people underestimate the importance of a good, solid preseason in which you lay the foundation and the preparation for what's ahead. Well, this guy, for whatever reason, was not in shape coming into the season and has been playing catch-up ever since. And it just hasn't worked out. And the truth is that Eden Hazard has come up short, and I mean woefully short, of the expectations that were laid upon him. He was supposed to take over, Ronaldo. Mm-hmm. That's not happening. It's not happening right now, and the way we see it with the injuries that he has had and that he also had yesterday, it may not happen this year at all.
He didn't look sharp at all yesterday, did he?
No, he didn't. I mean, listen, it's very difficult to argue with Alejandro's argument. However, we know that when it comes to big games, that's why people like Hazard get paid the money they do.
But that's when Hazard's at 100%, surely.
It doesn't matter.
Of course it does.
It doesn't matter. See, you've completely missed my point.
Right, what's your point?
The point is, Hazard is a big-time player. And as bad as he may have been over the last whatever, when it comes to this type of game, this is when people like Hazard from nowhere can produce something.
But surely to be a big-time player...
You completely disagree with that.
You've got to be fit. And he's not fit.
But big-time players don't always have to be 100% fit. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying this guy's been great or anything like that. I'm just saying that when it comes to a game, if I've got to choose between an out-of-form Hazard and a kid like Vinicius... Do you know what? I'm going to play Hazard. And if things don't go well, I can bring him off.
But the thing is, it might not be Vinicius Jr. It might be... Gareth Bale.
Which you can make...
Wait a minute. Which is a far better option than somebody like Hazard. Gareth Bale, who's been absolute mince. He's been sat in the house most of the time, playing golf most of the time. But he's definitely going to be a better option.
When did I say he was a better option?
Your whole thing was, Hazard.
But Stevie, you're going against your very own argument. You're going against your very own argument.
Okay, let me start again. If I'm asked to play Hazard or Bale, I'm playing Hazard all the time.
But Hazard's not fit.
I know he's not fit.
So that's not an option.
That wasn't my argument. My argument was against what Ali was talking about because he was playing poorly.
All right. First of all, it wasn't my argument. I just said that was the position of many Real Madrid fans.
Right.
All I would suggest is that in you arguing for Gareth Bale or against Gareth Bale, I don't even know whether you were arguing for him or against him, you can also say the same thing. It's like, well, that's a world-class talent. And can he come up with something that's special? You can make that argument about Gareth Bale as well, but you can go chase that argument and you figure out that, guess what? You may just come up short because neither Bale nor Hazard this year have been any good.
Meanwhile, Lionel Messi has been very good. Oh, yeah. He leads La Liga when it comes to goals and assists. 18 times he's found the back of the net. That's 5 more than Karim Benzema. Meanwhile, when it comes to assists, 12. The total for the Argentine. An interesting tweet that Eibar put out, of course, after Messi put 4 past them. We suffer you, we bear you, we endure you. Now there's nothing more but stand up and applaud you. Ali, I know you like this.
Well, I did, because, see, as professional athletes and professional soccer players, you have the responsibility to compete and make sure that you give your team and your teammates the best chance and the best opportunity to perform and get results. Right. But once it's done, there's nothing wrong with essentially recognizing greatness and saying, look, we prepared to play against this guy. We did what we thought was necessary and everything we could in order to stop this guy, and he still goes out there and shows what he showed and scores 4 goals and in the manner in which he did. And at some point, you just put your arms up and say, you know what? You're too good. You're too good. And there's nothing wrong in admitting that. And I know some people may be like, well, wait a minute. That's not competition. Well, yes, the competition took place. Messi was very good. And Eibar is essentially saying, you're too good for us right now.
I think I mentioned it a while ago. You know, we always talk about how Ronaldo looks after himself. We never talk about Messi doing the same thing. Mm. But clearly he does, because at 32 years of age, generally that's when your legs are starting to feel it a little bit. But what amazes me, and you see it in some of the goals he scored at the weekend, when he's running with the ball at his feet and he's running past two and three defenders, he can still change gear and go past the fourth defender. At 32 years of age, let me tell you, that is unbelievable.
Well, Barcelona, of course, in action midweek, as well as Real Madrid in the Champions League. For Barca, it's a trip to Italy to take on Napoli on Tuesday. For Real Madrid, it's that mouth-watering tie, isn't it, at the Bernabeu, as they play host to Manchester City. City with that 1-0 win against Leicester yesterday, despite the fact that they missed yet another penalty. They've missed four of their last four in the Premier League. Aguero this time failing to convert the spot kick. Stevie, what's wrong?
It's psychology is what it is. Penalty kicks are all psychology. And when they're going in and everybody's scoring, you're not even thinking anything other than, what's my celebration going to be?
Right.
Right now, it's the complete opposite. And we're hearing that supposedly the best penalty taker in the club is the goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time to let the goalkeeper take
it. Is that not a risk, though?
The only reason, as a coach, you don't want the goalie taking it is the obvious one.
Yeah, on the counter-attack.
The counter-attack. But if he's your best penalty taker, and the odds are he's going to score, then that kind of nullifies that. And you can always leave somebody else behind, so I don't know what they're going to. If they wait any longer, then Guardiola is crazy. Get the goalie up,
right,
and then we can all enjoy the goalie smashing it into the top corner. Because that's what goalies do. I had a goalie that did that, Matt Rees.
Right.
Every time he took a penalty, top corner, smashed it.
If that's your best option, if indeed Ederson is the guy to take the penalties, then you can take measures in order to make sure that it's not a risk. You can put numbers behind the ball. You don't have to have everybody in and around the box, what have you. But assuming that he's the best, I just think that right now you are searching for options.
Yeah.
And all the options that you are looking for, they have not been able to answer the call. Not consistently, anyways. And so what you know is that Gabriel Jesus is not the guy.
Nope.
What you know is that right now, for whatever reason, Sergio Aguero is having issues with penalties. And so let him go. Let Ederson do it. I mean, he seems to be the one with the correct technique. I mean, hitting a ball, we have said that many a time.
Yeah.
Let him take a penalty. Why not?
Meanwhile, Chelsea with the win against Spurs. Big win for Frank Lampard's side. Olivier Giroud scoring the opener. Has Lampard missed a trick by not playing him more, Stevie?
Well, I think because he scores the goal, that would go straight to that. But I think you have to realise the psychology of coaching. You know, when you've got a player in Giroud who wants to leave, makes it clear he wants out the building, then as a coach, you're going to play.
But that's because he wasn't playing. Fly. That's why he wanted to leave.
Yeah, but Tammy Abraham was absolutely on fire, so he wasn't playing through merit. But when Tammy Abraham got injured, Giroud had made it clear he wanted out. So as a coach, for the chemistry of the team, you're going to play Batshuayi.
But that's a mistake, yeah?
Well, it's kind of looking that way. But as I said, you know, sometimes you make decisions for the big picture, not just for the moment. But Giroud, certainly you can't argue, came up trumps and scored a fantastic goal.
Yeah. Look, when you look at Batshuayi, because I think that's a player in question here, is he a better option than Giroud? And so, if indeed it's the psychology of coaching that you're talking about, Stevie, well, then what are you doing with Kepa and Caballero? There's psychology of coaching there as well. And so,
well, I think they just fell out.
Yeah, that's the psychology.
I think it's straightforward there.
All right.
They don't get on.
Well, perhaps so. But my point is, if you think that Giroud is a better player and gives you a better option, then you play him. As long as he is your player. And I understand what you're saying that, you know, well, maybe he wanted to leave and you just didn't want that to be a part of your rotation or part of a distraction. But you're in a position in which you don't know, you know for certain that the goals are not coming from Batshuayi. You know that. He's not going to give you much. And so you have to say, well, I got Giroud here. He might as well do a job for me. And he certainly did that against Spurs.
I think we've got to give Frank credit, though, because
yeah,
I'm sure that's why initially he didn't play Giroud. And he did give Batshuayi a chance, which there's nothing wrong with giving Batshuayi a chance. But he didn't quite do it. And Frank is the bigger man to turn around and say, okay, I'm going to please you, Roo. So I think you've got to give him a little credit for that as well.
You mentioned before, obviously, the Kepa Caballero conversation.
Yes.
What's going on,
That's
Steve?
Clearly, 100% that is clearly a problem that the two of them have with
each other. But isn't that a mistake?
Yes. There's no way in a million years that Caballero is anywhere close to Kepa in ability. So it's clearly a stubborn thing that Frank has that is going to hurt him eventually, because the more games he plays, the more mistakes Caballero's going to make.
For more on that game at Stamford Bridge, you can download our podcast. Of course, it's available daily. The boys talking about Jose Mourinho's post-match comments. Be sure to check it out.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets, some good ones, actually. We'll start, though, with people are concerned about you, Stevie, and your diet and your lack of commitment to a diet. This comes in saying, for Stevie, you have to start drinking more water.
Correct.
How much water do you drink a day?
Not enough.
Any?
Tom, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, not enough.
Beer-flavoured water.
Well, that's a lot of
You've got to start eating fruits. Do you eat fruits?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I eat some fruit occasionally.
The peach that you put on top of the ice cream doesn't count.
I don't eat badly.
But you need to eat oatmeal. Don't eat a lot of red meat, this person's saying as well.
Well, that's no harm, because I eat red meat every day, probably.
Right. No snacks before bedtime.
Oh, that's a problem.
That needs to be completely...
That's an issue.
Right, crisps.
It's a problem area.
That is a problem area. That has to be dealt with. You are correct.
Right, away from Stevie's diet. Will Messi win the Champions League ever again with Setien or anyone else? Please reply, Dan. I'm on my knees, man. Vidant, get up. It's all right.
We're here for you.
Will Messi ever win the Champions League?
It says ever, right?
Yep.
Ever is a long time. I don't think he has a long time in terms of...
32?
Yeah. He's running out of time, and I think he senses that, and that's why he has been as outspoken as he has been over the last month or so, which is very unlike Messi, and that's why it becomes news. The answer is yes.
Mm. Oh, really?
Why are we surprised? I think as disorganized as Barcelona are with their transfers, I do believe that all of this sort of Messi coming out and talking and saying this is what we need to do, I think it's trying to put a plan in place so that they can win one before he goes.
What percentage is that, yes?
I give it a 35%.
Ooh. So surely it's more a no.
No. What do you mean?
So it's 65% no, 35% yes.
No, but no, because I'm giving myself variance for I'm not sure.
Hey. Say that again.
They say yes and no, and I don't know. I'm not sure.
Does Stevie remember his last game for Liverpool, and what was the feeling?
You know, I don't remember my last game for Liverpool.
Did you know it was going to be your last game?
No. 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 Because I was still at the club, and I ended up leaving because I got a phone call from Howard Kendall, who's manager of Notts County, asking me to go and play and be his assistant manager.
Right.
Coach. So I didn't know. My time was done there anyway.
How old were you when you left?
34.
Oh, wow, Steve.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's a while back, Steve.
Yeah. If you could relive one day in your career, what day would it be and why?
Semifinals of 2011 Copa America against Paraguay. Had a header that went off the crossbar, down on the goal line, and out. I would go back to that, score that goal.
And be a hero.
And go on to the final. Not to be a hero, but that would have put us into the final.
Be a bit of a hero.
That's not really why I would do it. It's because it would have put us in a situation where we would have gone into the final with an opportunity to win Copa America.
Stephen.
So if you could go back and do it again, could you change anything about it?
Yes, why not? You going World Cup?
No.
No.
One of my first games for Ayr United was against a team called Dumbarton away from home. The pitch, actually, the stadium was called Boghead, and it was well named because there was loads of mud and all kinds. And I remember picking the ball up in my own half and running across the halfway line with it. And all of a sudden I thought, what do I do? I didn't know what to do. It was weird. I didn't know what to do.
Right. Okay.
Well, I would completely change it, wouldn't I? I would know what to do now.
Not going back to 1989, make a rugby tackle, stop that play somehow. Or 86, score that goal. You're in some Dumbarton muddy field.
but it's an important moment.
It's your moment, Stevie.
Yeah.
It's your life.
Honestly, I was just a kid. I didn't know what to do. And I was like, all of a sudden, it hit me in the middle of the ring. I'm like, what do you do now?
Hey, but you figure it out, Stevie.
Well, exactly.
You figure it out.
My question to you, Stevie, if you played in the current Manchester City side with your playing style all being the same, what role would you assume based on your skill set to improve the team's defence? Centre-back?
Centre-back, yeah. Yeah, when I won the Player of the Year award, that's why I won it, because I was playing centre-back that year. So, easy-peasy, centre-back.
Hey, you see how nice that roll right off his tongue? It's like, when I won Player of the Year.
Well, it was an easy question.
There you are. Hey,
not everybody can say that.
No, exactly.
Not everybody.
Meanwhile, Dumbarton, teenage Stevie's about the halfway line going,
I don't know what to do!
Yeah, but you don't even understand.
I don't know what to do!
Without these experiences, the other stuff doesn't happen.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what to do.
Thought I'd get ahead of the hashtag SnapShaka craze and just show off my Carnival 2020 look early. Tell Steve.
Great.
Wow.
No, there's definitely only one part of that Shaka.
That towel could certainly be higher as well. Well, it's Shaka's birthday yesterday. We've had no pictures of Shaka whatsoever.
None.
No.
Nobody disappears better than Shaka Hiswas does.
He could be an undercover agent easy.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't even know he's there. Yeah.
When you go to trips with him, he disappears in the evening.
You're talking to him, you turn, and then when you turn back around, where's Shaka?
He's gone.
Watch the 1989 FA Cup final, and the commentator said Stevie has the largest feet on the field, so what's Stevie's shoe size?
My actual shoe size is 11 and a half. And the reason the commentator said that was because when I was at Ayr United, although you don't like me talking about Ayr United, apparently.
What depends if you're in the mud again?
Well, the boots we used to wear, right, were leather, pure leather.
Right.
And so I ripped my boots on the Thursday and we were playing on the Saturday. So I couldn't have worn the pair of boots that actually fitted me.
Right.
Because after about 20 minutes, I wouldn't be able to run. So I had to buy a size big. So I bought a size 12.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's where it all started. That
you had big feet.
I had big
feet. People used to write to you.
12, and then it went to 13, and then it grew. It started growing, and it was 14s, and mums used to send me letters going, oh, my son. Because this was back in the 80s when if you had monstrous feet, it was tough to get shoes to fit you and stuff. So I used to get all these letters from mothers. Oh, my 14-year-old takes size 15 feet. And I can't get shoes. Can you help me? And
Stevie.
Now, the reason that you were stuck in the mud was because the big feet just they buried it in
there
the mud.
There you go.
Oh, that's it. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I enjoyed that. Some interesting answers.
Apart from the Dumbarton one.
About Dumbarton.
Yeah.
35% yes. It's all there.
And variance.
35%.
Variance for, I don't know.
We'll be back tomorrow to reflect on Liverpool against West Ham. Peter Walton will be here as well to talk about some of those
Crash helmet on.